songs. Sing along. Sorry, I sort of got ahead of myself. What a fabulous day. Welcome, everybody. We ordered the weather special for you. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Susan Olson. I am the Director of Legislation for the Women's Defense League, one of the sponsors of this meeting today. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you here. This is a fabulous crowd on a perfect day. We've got quite a program organized for you. We've got so many wonderful people here today. But what I'd like to do, as we always do, is we take a moment and we think about all the things that brought us here. And with that in mind, I'd like to introduce somebody very, very special. He's kind of tall. You've seen him here before. I'm sure you've seen him in many, many, many places around the state and maybe around the country. His name is Garrett Lear. And Garrett Lear is a pastor in the great, great tradition of the colonial black-robed regiment, the name that was given by the British to the courageous and patriotic American clergy during our founding era. Sort of a backhanded reference to the black robes they wore. You didn't bring yours, did you? Close enough. Significantly, the British blamed the black-robed regiment for an awful lot of the emotion and intensity and devotion that came behind our revolution.
Thank you.
And like those who came before, Pastor Lear has often spoken at the New Hampshire legislature and has been one of the most outspoken clergymen in the United States, defending innocent human life and the values that each and every one of us hold dear. As a leader of the current Black Robe Regiment, he has encouraged clergy to fearlessly engage on these issues in the public square without fear, I want you to think about this, a reprisal. How many of us have gotten some of that this week? Pastor Lear has 4 children, numerous foster children, 4 grandchildren, and many spiritual sons and daughters, I think all of us here today. His ministry in the pastor's home or in the beautiful mountains of New Hampshire. He's the chaplain for the National Society of the Sons of the American Revolution with 396 years of forefathers behind you, if I had that number right. He's also the spiritual leader for the Massachusetts chapters in various veterans organizations. He's, believe it or not, also a member of the American Legion. So, if you will, please welcome Pastor Garrett Lear to give the invitation this morning.
We will have no other king but King Jesus, because he is the only king we can trust.
Amen.
Now, there are many scriptures that tell us, as does Acts chapter 5, verse 29, but Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men," which is not a statement of rebellion, but a statement of obedience. It appears we are suffering now from a rerun, if you will, of the divine right of kings. The earthly king says, "It, you must do it," like George III in 1775. We are a constitutional republic, not a democracy, and we have no titles of nobility, and no one should act like one, though many inside this building think they are. No, they do not own us or what belongs to us. Government belongs to us, not the other way around. Enumerated powers, preamble to the U.S. Constitution and the 10th Amendment. I'm here today representing our founders, and though they be dead, they still speak, and not in vain. My message to you today, and every day, is the very sound reasons for having armaments at the ready. Now, many of my Christian brethren and fellow preachers ridicule me and tell me I should stick to preaching the gospel and to singing and praying. But what part of the gospel should I preach? What song should I sing? What prayer should I pray? Do you know that in Luke chapter 11, verses 21 through 23, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. And there are other scriptures as well. Luke 22:36, he said to them, "But now let the one who has money bag take it, and likewise a knapsack, and let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one." There are many more verses too. And here's a prayer for you. May that God, who is a God of righteousness and salvation, still appear for us, go forth with our armies, tread down our enemies, and cleanse and avenge our innocent blood. And may we be prepared by a general repentance and thorough reformation for his grace and powerful interposition on our behalf. And then, may we see the displays of his power and glory for our salvation, which God of his infinite mercy grant for his mercy's sake in Christ Jesus. And that was the prayer of Pastor Jonas Clark of Lexington, 1775. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. Without this, a citizen is a peasant with a pitchfork. You can respond, by the way. And by the way, a nation of sheep begets a nation of wolves. A right delayed is a right denied. Progressives are regressives. Progression is repression, and all that adds up to less freedom instead of more. Registration is confiscation. Licenses is asking for permission. Rights are not for sale or to be parted away. Do you agree with that?
Yes!
In today's America, our most formidable enemies are not foreign governments or terrorist organizations. My enemy, your enemy, and those within our government, elected and unelected, they are people who, in my opinion, are guilty of treason, which can be very subtle, for example, refusing to support and defend our Constitution and the Bill of Rights. We will ask, where is the penalty for violating your oath of office? They have declared war against us. We, the people, and I have often written about how so many of our today's elected officials, both state and federal, violate their oath of office. Thomas Paine said in 1777, "Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it." Americanism is being attacked by globalism. We cannot allow the deep state and radical leftist socialist Democrat party to dissolve our Constitution and transform America into a tyrannical, socialist, globalist, new world order of one world government. America is a sovereign nation with our own laws. Hello?
Amen.
The Declaration of Independence signer Richard Henry Lee said, "To preserve liberty, it's essential that the whole body of people always possess arms. A free people ought not only to be armed, but disciplined." George Washington, final address to both House of Congress, January 8, 1790. "We must resist the resistance being forced upon us. There are many effective ways and means to do that. Fundamental rights. They are God-given and many. No thanks to the UN. We will not retreat when the tactics of intimidation are used against us. Will we?
No!
Good. I'm glad to see you there. Our founders expected us, their posterity, to know what the character is of those being voted for. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. "With all wicked deception, for those who are perishing, because they refuse to love the truth and to be saved. Therefore God sends them a strong delusion, so that they may believe what is false, in order that they may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness." And we're told in 1 Peter 5, "Exercising oversight," and I hope they're listening in this building, "not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." And in Proverbs 29:2, "When the righteous increase, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan." And we're groaning. Can you hear us? We're groaning. And as you know, registration is just the first step toward outright confiscation. And by the way, the latest hate group is the No Clue Klan. Folks, lock your doors, load your guns, and get yourselves a big, barking, biting dog. If the sheriff's office can't protect you, who will? Who?
We will
protect ourselves. Because in the minds of the anti-gun folks, we're not really people. You see, which means they think they can treat us any way they want to. For example, that includes ignoring our testimony and pretending it is spam. There's a double standard at work when it comes to speaking in the wake of a mass shooting, for example, in case you didn't know. For gun rights 2A supporters like us, we're required to wait a respectful period before offering opinions on the events in question. Meanwhile, gun control supporters don't even have to wait for any facts to come in before they can build a soapbox from the bodies of the slain to advance their causes. For the Republic, who is the country? Is it the government, which is for the moment in the saddle? Why, the government is merely a servant, merely a temporary servant. It cannot be its prerogative to determine what is right and what is wrong, and decide who is a patriot and who isn't. Its function is to obey orders, not originate them. And that was said by Mark Twain, otherwise known as Samuel Langhorne Clemens. Thank you. I appreciate it. Government did not create rights. Say that with me.
Government did not create rights.
God did.
God did.
And and they are unalienable. And by the way, God is always right. He gave us government, not the other way around. It turns out that not only did the U.S. not have the most frequent mass shootings, it was number 62 on the list, lower than places like Norway, Finland, and Switzerland. There was also no relationship between the rate of gun ownership in different countries and the rate of mass shootings. If the Washington Post, those faux journalists, had interviewed John Lott Jr. instead of Adam Langford and demanded Langford explain his study methods before touting his results, more mass shootings myths would never have been spread. So if Nancy Pelosi, Charles Schumer, Kamala Harris, Michael Bloomberg, Elizabeth Warren, and their even here in New Hampshire, through their own threat to declare gun violence a national emergency, be sure to check their math. Or just remember the wisdom of the Second Amendment. Government's desire to control us and to lie to make us case is the real emergency. Don't you think so?
Absolutely.
Our servants inside this building, and I call them our servants, remember, do not want to protect us or have us protect ourselves, our families, our properties, etc. Any single man must judge for himself whether circumstances warrant obedience or resistance to the commands of the civil magistrate. We are all qualified, entitled, and morally obliged to evaluate the conduct of others and conduct of our rulers. This political judgment, moreover, is not simply or primarily a right, but like self-preservation, a duty to God. As much of this is a judgment that man cannot part with according to the God of nature. It is the first and foremost of our inalienable rights without which we can preserve no other. John Locke, 1632. He's an English philosopher and political theorist who influenced our founding fathers, and he's influenced me. Weapons. Pen, voice, and sword. Anti-gunners, also known as anti-constitutionalists, are determined to steal and steamroll over your rights. What did New Hampshire patriot John Stark say? Live free or die, because death is not the worst of evils. Where an excess of power prevails, property of no sort is duly respected. No man is safe in his opinions, his person, his faculties, or his possessions. James Madison, 1792. I have a letter with me from Senator Maggie Hassan, dated 2/14/19, contains this sentence: I'm proud to support the Second Amendment and believe that Americans and Granite Staters have the right to responsibly own guns for personal safety, hunting, and recreation purposes.
Maggie,
do you really believe that?
Nothing about government.
Then where are you? We must make our election between economy and liberty, or profusion and servitude. Thomas Jefferson, 1816. The Constitution of most of our states of America United, New Hampshire included, assert that all power is inherent in the people. Hello? That they may exercise it by themselves, that is their right and duty to be at all times armed. Thomas Jefferson, letter to John Cartwright, 1824. Blackstone's Commentaries, I hope you've read them. Of the Laws of England, Volume 1 on the Rights of Persons, 1765. There, Blackstone states, the subject has these principles and absolute rights: to enjoyment of life and limb, health and reputation, liberty and property, and that of having arms for defense. suitable to their condition or degree, and such is allowed by law. His writings are considered to be a strong influence on American jurisprudence, supreme law of our land, by our founders, biblical worldview, and the U.S. Constitution. To disarm the people is the most effectual way to enslave them. George Mason, referencing advice given to the British Parliament by Pennsylvania Governor Sir William Keith. The debates of the several states' conventions on the adoption of the federal constitution. I ask, who are the militia? They consist now of the whole people, except a few public officers. George Mason's address to the Virginia Ratifying Convention. I'm getting close to the end.
She's good.
Before a standing army can rule, the people must be disarmed, as they are in almost every country in Europe. The supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws by sword, because the whole body of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any band of regular troops. Noah Webster, An Examination of Leading Principles of Federal Constitution. One of the fundamental complaints of our founders, recorded in the Declaration of American Independence, was that King was giving his assent to acts of pretended legislation. Hello? In the building, they've been doing that. Just what is happening so often in this building in the U.S. Congress. Okay? I need to hear from you.
Yes.
Do not waste your breath telling me the founders and framers of this country or this state did not know what they meant or what they were doing when they crafted our foundational documents. Out-organize and out-maneuver the radicals. And by the way, who are the radicals? I ask you, it's not us. We stand up and stand out for liberty, freedom, and the American and New Hampshire way. The real radicals are those who don't and won't. So we reasonable, peace-loving, law-abiding citizens mean no hate, no harm, no violence to anyone. Can they say that in there? And by the way, do not push us. Captain John Parker on Lexington Green, that glorious April morn, 1775, said to the Minutemen assembled, do not fire unless fired upon. If they mean to have a war, let it begin here. If you love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, go home from us in peace. We ask not your counsel or your arms. And that was Samuel Adams. Our fathers, God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King. Someone has stolen my country, and I want her back, and I want her back.